Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Is there a possibility of Wyndham Rotunda debuting on AEW next week? And is it a good idea? Hello, everyone. I'm not Luke Cohen because he's been too busy having a daughter.
Yay.
He's had a daughter, Denise.
He's and definitely got a good reason to be out from today's show.
I mean, I hate the fact that I've had to be subbed in, Denise, because as we all know, you are my frenemy with the anti-chemistry. People just can't stop talking about how we don't have anything in common. But of course, I am joined by the hardest working woman in all of sports infotainment, Denise the Hammer, Hollywood Salcedo. There's some other things. I believe Juicy was one of them. I can't keep track of all of your
There's a new nicknames. One every day. But, you know, it's been a while since we've done a show. But usually when we do a show, people really like it. Apparently the anti-chemistry works.
It really does.
Although we're still trying to find something that we have in common. I mean, aside from wrestling and podcasting.
I mean, we will find one thing, Denise. But perhaps someone who could form the bridge between us, who can mediate some sense of understanding in this friendship that was never meant to be. Please welcome our guest for this week's Mag Show. It's the one and only Andrew Zarian. Hello.
Hey, I am so glad I'm here. First of all, I'm frenemies with Denise as well.
Really?
I've been threatening her that I'm going to start throwing my loafers at her when I see her again. I'm so glad to be here. First of all, I told the story off the air that we met Adam. We met at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. And, you know, we said hello. It was nice and quick. And my brother apparently is a huge fan of yours. And he came over and he took this photo and he goes, it's a real pleasure to meet you. And he posted a photo and he goes, I had a great chat with Tom Phillips. And he posted this online. And for months, everybody would just send them photos, text them, friends would text them. I would send them just photos of you. And I would write, Tom says hello.
That is so funny.
Why else do you think I dyed my hair to get rid of these bloody Tom Phillips comparisons? Because I've had them for years.
Have you really? I you know what? I had no idea that was a thing.
Do we all have celebrity doppelgangers that people say we look like? Obviously, you've got the Lily Doll, Denise.
I'm Googling Tom Phillips right now just to kind of remember what his face looks like for a second. Hold on. I need to have like a side-by-side comparison right now.
I had someone refer to me as...
Yeah, I see it. But it's the eyes, though. Like, you guys have the same facial hair. You guys don't have the same lips. You kind of have the same nose. But that's kind of about it. I don't think you guys look alike.
I'll take it. That's fine.
Now that he said it, I mean, listen, I think that's a better comparison than what I get. I regularly get called the Wish version of Andrade.
You might as well be the Wish version of one of the most handsome men.
I know. I'll take it.
I'm doing a side-by-side thing. I'm just Googling images and putting them side-by-side. So right now I have Andrade and I have you, Andrew, just side-by-side. Yeah.
I was like, you know, and I, like, when my hair was long, I used to get that. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll take that. He's a handsome guy. I mean, look at that. I mean, just a total stud. I'm like, you know what? I have no problem being a 4 on the Andrade scale. I have no problem with like, that.
If you were like to that shave meme. The sides of your head, like your hair.
Well, it was. Would, that's why. Yeah, it used to be. And I used to have the hair long.
It's like that classic meme, isn't it? Just be like, "Mom, can we have Andrade?" No, we have Andrade at home, and this is what our Andrade at home looks like. Ooh, we are. So we're getting a little bit of interference. For example, you're both now frozen, so I'm not sure if that is if that's me or if that's
on
you
my
guys.
End.
I'm moving as well.
Okay, yeah. Am I moving? This might.
Yes,
I might
very much.
I'm
so.
Moving.
Well, according to me, you guys are like, blip, blip, blip. Tell you what I'm going to do. Why do you guys talk amongst yourselves? This is, again, right. I don't know what Luke expected when he put me in charge of this show. But you guys talk amongst yourselves while I go and plug in the Ethernet cable, which is arguably something I should have done before the show started. I'll be right back.
So, Andrew, how's your day going? I heard you had a busy day.
I've had a busy week. Going to AEW kind of derailed my entire week. I have a confession though, and I guess I'll say it on this show because I don't know if I'm going to say it tomorrow. I left that show super early.
Oh, you mentioned it on the chat.
Okay, I left at 9:30. I had to get out of that building.
Oh, why? Like you had like you I had to get up, right?
I had a big meeting the next day, and I realized that I did no work for it, and it kind of hit me as soon as I got to the arena. I'm like, hey, you know what? I got like an 8 o'clock meeting, and I'm not getting out of here till midnight. I got to figure out what I'm going to do. So I just bailed at like 8:30 and I got on the train. I was home in like 10 minutes. And then I joined your chat to harass you a little bit.
Well, I appreciate I appreciated it. Are you connected, Adam?
I am. So here's what's happening on my end. And this is just the funniest business. What I'm getting is I am getting both of you freezing a lot. You are both sounding like you're coming through some sort of like digitized voiced scrambler when someone's, you know, asking
like
hostage demands. Yeah, you're
you, Adam, because now you're freezing up.
But I'm plugged into the Ethernet cable. I'll try exiting and come back. I will. I will.
Do you want me to leave as well? I can leave.
We just all leave.
He just left. We just all leave. Are we live?
We're live, BTW.
Oh man, this is awesome. I love this live TV. Live TV.
Hey, so I heard you finally had the Denise Salcedo experience at a venue, BTW.
In what way?
Your experience was not that great at the Arthur Ashe
venue. You know, my experience was very good, to be honest, because I snuck in. I had someone open a door for me and get me to my seat, so I didn't really have to wait in line too much. So I pulled in some favors, but I have to tell you, it was a disaster. I think a lot of people missed the Daniel Bryan match, the Bryan Danielson Omega match. There were hundreds, if not maybe 1,000 people waiting online to buy food and drinks and to go to the bathroom as that match was going. And there was a person next to us that got up right before Dynamite started. He didn't come back till the CM Punk promo.
Are you serious?
And he was so mad. He missed it. I guess he didn't realize what was happening. I have no idea how you don't realize. You hear the music and everything. He missed the whole match, and he came in midway through the CM Punk promo. So 35 minutes of waiting online. That was a big story at that building. They were totally unprepared.
Jesus, that's really terrible. That's terrible. Yeah, terrible. I would have been pissed. That's like the major reason why, you know, people were obviously going to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people missed it. So it was, listen, first time that building has held an event like this. They only host tennis. They've only had two other events. One was, and both were sponsored by the U.S. Tennis Association. So this building was caught up in a political mess between the city of New York and the United States Tennis Association. So the city of New York owns the property and they lease it to the USTA for $1 a year. And they just got to pay the taxes, which I think are like $400,000. I could be wrong on that number. Somebody at the venue told me that. But all they do is pay the taxes, and they have a 99-year contract with that venue starting in 97. So they have not been allowed to use that venue because the guy that was in charge of the parks department for New York City didn't want to spoil the parks. So it just sits empty except for tennis.
Incredible.
Until now. And everything. I don't know. Tony... It was a real Tony's negotiation abilities, it speaks volumes for that. And also the guy that was that didn't want to run anything, he retired and a new person came in for the Parks Department.
Wow.
So it was just perfect. It was just perfect timing.
So I can tell by Denise's occasional reactions that that was a good story. I got like none of it. Uh-oh. So this is going to be a hell of a podcast for us. So literally, like, you are coming through, like, you're scrambled in a cable channel. Look, what we're going to do is we're just going to go for it. And we'll see what happens. And if I just, I'll just like occasionally keep re-upping my connection. I'll try my best. But Denise, you may have to take the lead on this one. And I will basically just.
I can't see any of the ultra chats, but sure.
Yeah. I will. Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. I might have to read out the ultra chats, but we'll just, we'll see.
We'll do it live. That's it.
Let's go.
We'll do it live. So we're talking today, after a mere 10 minutes, we're talking about our big story, which is the possibility of Bray Wyatt appearing in AEW, released by WWE on July 31st and was under a 90-day non-compete clause. But WrestlingNews.co is reporting that he has the option to waive that clause. If that's accurate and he chooses to do it, that would mean he wouldn't be paid for any of the 90 days, but he would be free to sign and appear wherever he wants. Dave Meltzer reported last week there was interest in Wyatt from both AEW and Impact, but rumor was if he was to join AEW, it would be next week. It's because the show's taking place in Rochester, New York, the home of Wyatt's friend, the late, great Brody Lee. So I basically just want to gather you two together to, first of all, discuss whether or not you think AEW should be the next stop for the man formerly known as Bray Wyatt. And if so, how do you foresee AEW using him? Let's start with our special guest, Andrew. What do you think?
He's a big act. I mean, obviously he can't be the Fiend, right? He can't be that version of Bray Wyatt, but I'm sure he's a very creative guy. Everybody that works with him knows that he's very dedicated to his role. Speaking of writers over there, everybody speaks about how committed he is to the act. And also, another person I got that a lot was Aleister Black in WWE. He's very committed to the role. He's very committed to the character and very protective of it. So, these opportunities don't come along too often. We were talking about, you know, Tony Khan being able to book Arthur Ashe Stadium, and that it was just a perfect timing. Everything aligned for that. To be able to debut him at Rochester with the Dark Order having, issues internally with no actual leader, I think this would be the most logical way to insert him into the storyline. But what kind of character will he be? That's the big question I think everybody has. Will he come out as Wyndham Rotunda, a kind of a half-blend character between the Fiend and everything else he's done? I don't know. Or maybe he's going to use a different name. I'm excited to see what they do because he's super talented, and to see him kind of with less restriction would be very interesting to me.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't sure if Adam could hear or not. I was waiting for a response. All right. I'm going to go through it. All right. So my thoughts on this though, really are the fact that, like, first and foremost, when it comes to like these surprises for like AEW, we can't go into the show thinking that it's probably a sure thing that we're actually going to get Bray Wyatt. I feel like because this is something that's speculated, like, people shouldn't go necessarily thinking like, okay, this is most likely the episode that we're going to see Bray Wyatt. So like automatically I would suggest to the people, don't get your hopes up just yet, because these really are just, you know, reports and speculations, etc. However, if it were to happen, I completely agree with Andrew. And like a lot of people have been saying this, seems like the very having him come in as the leader of the Dark Order, which is just something that, you know, we've been seeing on Dynamite. They've been talking about, you know, there's been, you know, all these issues with the Dark Order not necessarily being on the same page, etc. So having him come in there, and if he were to essentially be in this new role of being the leader of the Dark Order, that seems like the most obvious. The most obvious and the best opening spot, the most natural position to go ahead and like put him in there. And as for his character and what he would be, I think that he's probably going to have, like you said, like maybe like a mixture of like the different, you know, personas that he's been throughout his career. But like one of the major things that obviously everybody knows, the fans, people that have worked with him, is that he's a very creative guy. So I won't be surprised if he like tries something completely out of the box. Obviously, if he's going into the Dark Order, it would be something that would fit their, you know, their stable and their group and all of that. So I do think that as well. But as much as I would, I like this idea, and I like the idea of him coming in during the Rochester show, I seriously just don't want to get my hopes up, though. Like, I don't want to get my hopes up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's the worst thing you could do as a fan, is assume or, you know, really, really think something's going to happen and it doesn't happen, and now you're left disappointed. I kind of go into it just saying like, oh, if it happens, it's awesome. If it doesn't, you know, but by that time, we'll probably know more information by next Wednesday. But I think it's a, listen, rare opportunity, right? It's a rare opportunity, but they're also, there's a lot of criticism that they're signing a lot of big WWE acts, and what that does internally within the company, where you're signing. Now, where do you put everybody? You know, that's something they have to be very careful about.
Well, that was one of the things that Tony Khan mentioned as well. And he mentioned this in the AEW All Out media scrum, was he said, like, he can't sign essentially like a, you can't have a roster just full of stars. You got to have people like in different positions and in different roles. So obviously that is something to take, you know, account for. So I do have the Ultra Chats now. So thank you so much to Mod Mother, who sent this in to me. And I guess we'll go ahead and jump into the first. Okay, are you laughing at me, Adam?
No, I'm laughing at the cruel fate of the universe.
Well, I don't know. Like, I can't tell if you're going to chime in or not. I'm like, is Adam going to chime in, or do I just take the reins? I have no idea.
I don't know what to chime in about. Okay, look, how about this? I'll monologue about Bray Wyatt and AEW, and then if I disappear or something,
we're
just
not
like
always this much of a mess, Andrew, I promise.
It's all right. Listen, if you knew what I'm viewing right now across from my camera, you would be shocked what my view is at this very moment. What I'm staring at. Is it saucy?
Is it saucy? Yeah.
Saucy, Denise.
Very saucy.
Very saucy.
Very saucy.
Oh my God, sauce. So I'm going to talk for a bit. Sorry about this. I don't know what's happening. I just restarted my computer. This is so weird. I plugged into the internet. Anyway, so Bray Wyatt and AEW. Here's the thing, right? So like everyone, I think what you guys were talking about is like AEW and the Dark Order. I'm assuming you talked about that because literally you're both frozen. So that's fine. For me, it feels like there's an emotional resonance. Obviously, we all know like how close Bray and late great Brodie Lee was. So the idea of inheriting the mantle from someone that you truly care about is a really interesting one. It does feel like Bray Wyatt is sort of like will then like have a kind of creative shadow over him, perhaps like when he first comes in. Like, I think my thing is just, like, I don't necessarily want to see magic in AEW. I feel like that is like, you know, obviously that's a big part of a lot of people's wrestling kind of childhood. Undertaker, Kane, you know, like spooky business happening for spooky reasons, literally magic being the only explanation. But AEW is more of a sports-based promotion than that. You know, they care about stats. Obviously they also do have a giant wrestling dinosaur, but he is also, you know, like he's sort of explained within the kind of physics of that world. I think it's tricky. I think there's a lot more, it's similar to what Malakai Black is doing, the idea of a more psychological element, something maybe a bit more akin to Bray Wyatt, because like my favorite parts of Bray Wyatt were never the stuff, like for me Bray Wyatt jumped the shark when he started being able to do actual magic, when he was able to kind of teleport. Like for me, that's not what makes Bray Wyatt interesting. What makes Bray Wyatt interesting is the idea that he can lay a seed in your mind. He can incept maliciousness into you with his words, because he's a wordsmith, a charmer, a snake charmer. The idea that he can corrupt you. So maybe him being the head of a cult, literally the cult that they have in AEW, is almost too much of a layup. But after his work with The Fiend, going back to cult leader Bray Wyatt, like it's going to be difficult for a lot of people not to see that as a regression. Perhaps the emotional bridge with Brody will be good enough for people. But I'm really, really torn. I want him to go to AEW because I think that's the place where he'll get the most exposure, because I do think he is one of this generation's best minds, just from a sheer creative standpoint. Like, the sheer glut of creativity that comes from Bray Wyatt is insane. And AEW, I think, probably is the best place for that. But yeah, no, I'm really, really on the fence. How do you react to that, Denise?
So when it comes to, I'm glad that you mentioned the exposure thing, because it is true. Like, a talent like Bray Wyatt should essentially be somewhere where you're going to get the maximum amount of exposure. And right now, if it's not WWE, it's definitely AEW. So that is a big, big point to make. While he can do great stuff in other places like Impact Wrestling or Ring of Honor or New Japan or wherever the hell, really. Yeah, he can do great things, but at the end of the day, you're going to get the maximum exposure in AEW. And given the fact that there is an obvious storyline, and like I said, an obvious way to plug him in, then why not go ahead and take the opportunity to do that? But I am curious, though. Andrew, I have a question for you. Like, Adam mentioned the fact that he's not into all of the magic stuff. I'm not into the magic stuff. How do you feel about the magic stuff?
You know, and when it's done every now and then, it works, right? When it's, but when you have, you know, lasers zapping out, and you have, you know, the all the spookiness constantly, like Alexa Bliss is a great example of this, right? All the spooky stuff, all the magic stuff, it's taken to a level where it removes you from what's going on. And it's weird, right? That it removes you from it. But I think if they do it every now and then, and they have, you know, it's more psychologically based, where maybe a little bit of it is incorporated, I think it's fine. But AEW, again, they have to walk a fine line, because there's so many eyeballs on them right now, and there's so much criticism. People are very much waiting for them to screw up in some capacity. You know, they've had some misses. They have a lot of hits. This is just going to be another example of, does this piece fit in that puzzle that they're trying to build right now? And, you know, personally, things that have been told to me, I really hope Bray has tremendous success over there. Absolutely. I know that he really works hard on his work. I don't think this was expected by many people, that he would be let go by WWE because of all the financials that are tied into that character. The merchandising, it was a big draw for them. It really was. And it worked, and it created buzz. And that's everything that they want. So, to release them, there's more to this story, which, you know, one day we'll all hear the truth, you know, the real full story. But I would like to see him there. I really would. I would love to see him, you know, work with the Dark Order and do something really awesome with them.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Also, you guys are coming through quite a bit better now.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We may have fixed this. I don't know what's happening.
Excellent.
Doing, like, nothing. Side eye. I'm like, is he like aware that the conversation is done? Like, I keep
or am
doing,
I just
like,
nodding?
My, yeah. I'm like looking at you and I'm like, should I jump in? Should I say something?
I'm just a toddler with keys. I just like, I understand there's color and movement and I'm on board.
It's like mom and dad are having a conversation. Toddler's just like, don't drop the vase. Don't drop the vase.
It's like Charlie Brown's parent.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
No, I think I'm back with you.
Fantastic.
But Denise, you know what? I think you should take the Ultra Chats anyway, Justin.
All right, let's see. I got them. So let's go ahead and get started then. So we're going to start off with an Ultra Chat from Teddy Byrne, who says, with the rumors of Bray Wyatt debuting this week and the rumors of Adam Page returning this week, how would you feel if Bray became the leader of the heel half of the Dark Order and Page became the leader of the face half? The two could then feud for legitimacy. Thoughts on this? We'll start with Andrew.
I don't want to see a civil war angle yet. I'm not crazy about those. Whenever you do like a faction breakup like that, it doesn't really work the way they ever plan it to work. I'd like to see a united Dark Order, whether or not, you know, Bray's the leader or Hangman is. I would take Hangman out of that equation totally. I think he needs to become a big single star. He doesn't need the Dark Order at this moment, but he's also one of the few people that doesn't have a faction he's incorporated with. Everybody has some sort of faction. So where does he go? Does he become a loner? I think that would be a great angle for him. You know, the cowboy's a loner. He doesn't need a team. So, I don't want to see a civil war thing. I think Adam Page should move on beyond the Dark Order and have, if this is what they're doing, right? And have Bray become the leader.
That's Adam.
Yeah, I agree with Andrew. I don't necessarily want to see a kind of NWO 2000 versus NWO Wolfpack kind of situation where everything's kind of getting branding and everyone's got like warring colors and stuff like that. I think it's tricky because, like, well, Andrew, you mentioned it, like, you know, obviously the Dark Order is falling apart. The reason why it's falling apart, right, is because Adam Page is going to come back and teach them the magic of friendship again. Please, I just don't want it to be the case where once again, Adam Page has his big moment usurped by a new star coming in and sort of supplanting him. You know, that's not to cast shade on Bryan Danielson and CM Punk. If they come in, you have to use them now. Obviously, you
How do you not, right? How do you not?
Exactly. But like the layup here is Dark Order have forgotten what it, you know, they've. The trauma of watching their friend fall apart is tearing them apart. And it, simply put, Bray Wyatt coming in as either a face kind of like, oh, now I will unite you, or the heel kind of just be like, oh, no, I will now take you fully to the dark side. Again, it just supplants another big moment in the Adam Page story. And I know that a lot of the problems a lot of people have with the Adam Page story are we have written as fans the Adam Page story and we expect AEW to do the story that we've written. And I get that that is a snake that eats its own tail. But right now, it literally is. They have fallen apart without Adam Page. Adam Page needs to come back and make them whole again. And yeah, I don't see necessarily where Bray Wyatt falls into that. So despite the kind of perfect links of Brody and cults and all that stuff, yeah, it just seems like it's again a kind of like putting Adam Page on the back burner. And, you know, he's had a kid. So I guess like Luke Owen, maybe he just could do with some more time off. Because apparently kids take up all your time. So you might be seeing a lot.
You have no idea.
You'll be seeing a lot of me, Denise. Me and my technical issues. It's going to be you and me.
Fantastic.
Helmer and Louise.
You know, I don't run the same at 8 in the morning as I do later on in the day. I'm a little rusty in the morning, Adam.
Well, thankfully, you've got the sheer technical prowess and unabashed professionalism of Adam Blompier here to see us through this mag podcast. But that's my thoughts. Anyway, no civil war, please. And can we just have Adam Page teach them the magic of friendship? And then maybe once he's won the title, then Bray Wyatt can sort of steal his friends and turn them against him. That might be fun.
So I know that you guys are both on the same page, but just to offer a different perspective, I kind of like what Teddy pitched on here, to be honest. I really kind of did, only because I know that they're not necessarily going to go right now with Hangman Page to be the champion, because there's still so much left in Kenny Omega as being champion that you still need to give him a good story. I think something like that would be interesting, and it would give, you know, more members of the Dark Order some more individual time to shine. So I think that you guys brought up some great points, but if they were to do something like this, I would not be opposed to it, just given those pros that I just mentioned. But we're moving on to our next Ultra Chat, and this one is from Charles Berg, who says, I'd say it would be a huge get, but I think Bray needs to get away from being a murder clown and focus more on the sinister nature of human beings. Something like John Doe from Seven. Also, Mr. Blompier, you said it's your jam, but is Mario Party N64 NRB worthy? I don't understand the second part of the question.
You've heard of Mario Party, didn't you?
Yeah, but I don't understand like what's going on with Mario.
Well, you mean why he's being
a lot's going on. He's
Chris
going through
Pratt
a divorce right now. Yeah, I mean, you know, poor Mario's going through a divorce. He's lost his business. His kids haven't called him. I mean, there's a lot going on with him, Denise.
So Mario's falling apart. Is that the new thing?
Mama
mia. Or Mario, yeah. I'm sorry.
So hang on. You have to talk me through this. So all I know is there's a film and he's being played by Chris Pratt. And that's all I know. What's happening with Mario?
I hope you're asking Andrew, because I don't got the answers for you.
Literally, you're on the finger of pop culture. Culture is one half of your YouTube
not
channel's
video
name.
Video games, though. I don't know anything about video games whatsoever. I don't do any video game content. Nobody here knows what's going on with Mario Party N64 NRB. Is it worthy? No.
Mario Party N64 is absolutely wonderful. Mario Party, it's genuinely like it's a video game board game, Denise. You literally roll dice by bopping them like Mario bops blocks. Again, I feel like
it's a video game, a game board. Okay, there you go.
A game board.
It's a not a game
board.
I would love to be.
I would love to play Mario. Can you? I could do it, right? With my terrible heavy New York Queens accent, I think it would work really well. It would fit in really well.
I mean, you're a better Mario than Chris Pratt, and I'm sorry that that's a very low bar to clear. Yeah, but you've vaulted right over it.
Yeah, we're taking the ethnicity of Mario. We're going to shift him a little bit and make him a little bit more Persian instead of Italian. I think that's the direction we're headed here with Mario.
It's where Nintendo's been going. Like they've had this kind of very long journey, like story arc planned. It's like the Adam Page story. Yeah, they just keep delaying it, but we are going to eventually end.
Like a Greek nightclub owner.
Now, to be fair, I get that vibe from Mario entirely.
We are moving on to our next Ultra Chat. This one is from Zerup the First, who says, what about Bray being the leader of the evil Uno Dark Order faction with Hangman coming back and being the leader of the Reynolds Dark Order faction? So that's along the same lines of the first question that we got asked. Is there anything you guys want to add, or should I just move on to the next one?
I want to add the fact that, Mario Party is basically, it's a video game board game. You bop the blocks and it rolls dice and you move around a board. And depending on where you move, you might get some coins. You might cash some coins in for a star. You've heard of them. And then at the end of each round, you play like a little mini game. Do-do-do-do-do. Maybe like a little foot race. Who can tap their button the hardest? Or who can bop each other off? Or you're all on a big platform, but the platform's covered in ice, so you've got to try and run around, but you've got to try and stay on the platform. Oh, what a time to be alive, Denise. It's wonderful.
Andrew, are you aware that Adam is a big game board?
Stop calling them game boards!
Game board enthusiast!
A what? A game board. Look, you broke them.
I can't tell if you're doing this to wind me up.
No, you broke them. You broke
them. Also, you're frozen again. You're both frozen again. You've talked about game boards so much, it's broken the podcast.
Can I ask, what is a game board? A game board?
It's a board game, Andrew. She's a board game. Being thick.
Oh, Denise.
I'm sorry. It's 8 a.m. I forgot what they were called. Board games, not a game board. Excuse me. Pardon me.
What? They don't got game boards in California, Denise?
I mean, they, well,
board game, see, game boards.
Yes, I'm a proud supporter of Candyland, Monopoly, and Scrabble.
I'm so proud.
Which irritates Adam to the extreme. That's the whole beef between us. Is apparently, I don't get the board game community.
You're not playing Catan?
Have you heard of these new game videos? They're all the rage with the children. Plug in your game video console, and you too can game video on the internet superhighway.
My hobbies include game boarding.
Game board.
Board games are brilliant, Andrew. You agree? Yes,
I agree. They are. Catan, is that the game? Catan.
Yes.
Catan. Everybody's playing Catan.
That is the name of a game board. You've that successfully passed the challenge.
There you go.
Way over my head.
There you go.
Next super chat. This one is from Peter Mullins. Ultra chat. Excuse me. Who says?
What's happening to the show?
Well done, Adam. Keeping the show on the rails against all of Virgin Media's efforts. I think Bray should debut as the scariest character to all people, 18 to 49. Son of IRS, the tax man, he says. Arg. Ooh, spooky. I mean, this is not me, by the way. This is Peter Mullins and what he wrote on his Ultra Chat.
Peter, you're right. I'm the one keeping this show on the rails. I'm the linchpin here. I'm not in any way the source of all the problems.
I was going to say, you're getting credit, even though you're the reason the show is a disaster, Adam.
This is the worst show we've ever done. Andrew, I'm so nice to have you here. I'm really sorry that you happened to pop your head in for a car.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad everything fell apart for me. I think I caused this. I think I'm the reason why.
Possibly. Because we can go with that. It makes me feel better about myself.
Because I was supposed to be on last week. I was supposed to be on last week's show, and I had to move it to this week. So I think I caused this whole disaster. I think if I wasn't here, you guys would have a fantastic show.
You sent
Andrew,
us a
were
virus.
Were you having a bad day before this? Because I was having a bad day. Adam mentioned he was having a bad day. Were you having a bad day before this?
I never have a bad day. My days are always
That's
fantastic.
Not true. That can't be true. You have to have bad days.
I think people, like, my day begins at 4:30 in the morning. And it ends at around 4:30 in the morning. I have crazy long 20-hour work days sometimes here. It's out of control between the podcast, between the venues, between my clients. I'm there are times that I'm not home for like 2 days, and I'm just roaming around Manhattan like a crazy person going from place to place.
Oh my god!
My favorite thing is Adam's reaction to this, hearing Andrew's lifestyle.
Like, if I don't get my 8 hours, I'm useless. Like, one of the reasons I've had a bad day is because I had trouble sleeping last night.
No, four or five hour stops. That's my tops.
Your brain will shrivel up like a raisin. Oh my goodness. Are you okay?
There's one person in the chat wrote, Andrew never has a bad day. What about the potato on the train? This is an infamous incident that happened in my life. I was poisoned by a Persian man that fed me a potato on the train.
Did you know the Persian man before he fed you a potato?
I did not know the Persian man. I will swear on my children that this is the reality of my life. I'm sitting on the train. I'm going to work. And this Persian man is sitting next to me. And the way I know he's Persian, he looked at me. He goes, let me ask you. He goes, you are a very handsome man. He goes, are you Iranian? Are you Persian? I'm like, no, my dad is from, was born in Iran. Like, kind of, sort of. Like, it's hard to explain because I'm so mixed. And he's like, oh, you're so handsome. And he starts touching my face like this. He's like this old little man. And then he tells me that his wife just died. Okay. Right after he strokes my beard, he tells me that his wife just died and his kids forced him to move out of his mansion into a small apartment. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, what do I say? Like, my answer is going to be like, things happen. You know, life changes. You know, what do you say to that? And he proceeds to take out a hard-boiled egg out of his bag, a boiled potato out of his bag in a Ziploc bag. He takes it out. He, with his hands, he cuts it in half. He hands it to me. I don't know why. I ate it. Okay. I ate half the boiled potato.
Andrew, I hate to do this, but yeah. I think that's your fault. You cannot eat potatoes.
It was the mysticism that he did to me. He spooky fingered me, and I lost all control.
Like the beginning of Gremlins.
Yeah, it just happened. All right. So I eat the potato, and can I just add? He was wearing a white pinch suit. Okay. Large European cut pants, like his leg, it was like the widest of the wide legs he was wearing, white pinstripe suit. I eat half the potato and he asks me if I want any onions with it. And I'm like, no, it's 10 in the morning. I regret my decisions to begin with. I regret even getting on this train at this point. And I ate the potato. The train gets to Manhattan. I look to my side. He's gone. He's missing. Okay, gone.
Did you do the thing where you looked one way and then you looked back and he wasn't there anymore?
I really thought I consumed too many edibles the night before, and maybe that, like, I'm like, he's gone, and it, I never saw him again. Couple days go by, I really feel like crap. All right, I am sick. I can't breathe. This is before COVID, right? Before the thing that happened. I don't want to say it because we'll maybe lose monetization on this video. Right before this happened. And I'm like, I'm sick. I ended up getting double pneumonia. I was out for a month and a half. For 6 weeks, I was sick. Nothing cured me. No antibiotics was working. It was finally the third round of antibiotics. I didn't put it two and two together until a viewer was like, dude, it was the freaking potato. This man poisoned you. Okay? I saw him. I saw him the day before everything shut down. That was the last time I saw that man and going up an elevator, and I wanted to find him. I'd run up to find this man, and once again, he disappears. Andrew, I was poisoned by a Persian mystic on the Long Island Railroad. Okay. I think at this point, he definitely did something. Definitely did something to me with his weird potato. But here's a life lesson that I learned at the age of 37 years old. Do not, under any circumstances, eat a boiled potato from some random strange Persian man on the Long Island Railroad.
That is a life lesson
we all should learn.
Don't eat patrain toes. Just don't do it.
Like, patrain toes?
So I've been waiting to say patrain toe for a very long time.
It was a phantom potato that took 6 weeks to recover from. Maybe I should have had the onions. He also had tomatoes, cut up tomatoes. And he kept saying, like, would you like a bombidora over and over again?
Why do I feel these are like the stories that are going to end up like in a Bible where it's like, if a man comes to you and he offers you a potato or an onion, don't say yes to the potato. It sounds to me like you got witchcraft.
Definitely. He's definitely like a 600-year-old mystic that just appeared out of nowhere.
It sounds like one of the 1001 tales. It's one of those amazing stories I've ever heard. Why did you eat the potato?
Okay, I'm going to be so honest with you. I was so distracted reading a text message from a friend of mine I was so distracted. He was telling me that his mother was in a bad car accident. Okay, as I'm reading this, I'm reading it. I'm talking. And he's like, and he hands it, and my mind went somewhere, and I just took it, and I just ate it, and I go, that's very good. He goes, I eat a boiled potato every single day. Every morning, I start my day with onions, tomatoes, and a boiled potato.
Andrew, I think he was punishing you because you just said that you were reading a text while he was telling you about his mother who was in an accident. So maybe he got like insulted, like this guy isn't giving me my full his full attention.
No. My friend's mother was in an accident. My friend's mother was in the accident.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. But I am now convinced he made me immortal. I am now a Highlander. There's no denying, like, I'm going to be 700 years old living by myself. Like, this was the big curse he placed on me that now I'm an immortal.
I think I'm dreaming this. I think I'm having a nap before the mag show started. Like, none of this show makes any sense.
It's a Tuesday, man. It was a Tuesday. What am I going to do?
Well, like Garfield, I hate Tuesdays. I don't know really how we can how do we stop this from being the entire podcast? How do we dismount from this? Andrew, can you give us like a and that's why like give us a sort of moral of the story, eat a potato on a train.
No.
That's a moral that we all know, Andrew.
If you happen to see a on the Long Island Railroad, if you're from New York and you see this Persian man wearing a white pin suit, because the second time I saw him, he was wearing a white pin suit also. Tiny little man. Okay. If you see this man, run. Don't even look at him. Don't make eye contact. He will find you. He will follow you. He'll appear in your house. I'm telling you.
Maybe just try and catch him. Might be able to get some wishes out of it. You know, just try and catch him in a net or something. And maybe he'll give you your heart. Right? Yeah. But maybe you'll be cursed. Andrew, that's a top five story.
Like, my wife was so mad at me. She was so mad. She's like, "What would make you do it?" I'm like, "I don't know." I'm like, I was distracted. She goes, "I've never been distracted enough to eat a random thing someone's feeding me on a train." I was like, "He was nice. He told me his wife just died. His kids kicked him out of his house. What do you want? They took all his money."
Denise, what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten on a train?
Well, the things I don't take I took the subway here one time in LA and I was flashed by some man. And then in Hollywood, a man tried licking my face. And those are probably some of the weirdest things that had happened to me here. But I've never eaten a potato from a stranger. I've never eaten anything from a stranger.
No. It's almost like it's just one of those things, isn't it? It's just one of those shared assumptions.
It shocks me still that this really happened, right? Like I think about this regularly, and people will send me emails. Like the viewers randomly will send me an email, and they're like, "I still can't believe this happened." Because I told the story a couple times. I think I'm almost convinced that if he tried to feed me the potato, I still would have accepted it.
Well, if he actually just popped it in your little mouth.
I kind of would have preferred that. I kind of would have. If he was like, "Here you go," and I just feeds it to me.
I mean, when you did say a man fed me a potato on a train, I was picturing it like he held his, like a horse eating an apple. He just kind of held it out.
When we got up to leave, and this is even better. He gave me the double-sided kiss. And then he did one of these. Yeah, he did one of these. Like I need to like held my cheek a little bit. I kind of liked it. It was nice.
I have a real question for you, Andrew. A serious, legitimate question.
Yeah.
Do you have a fear now of Mr. Potato Head?
He's not allowed in my house. My kids, I melted it in the backyard. Somebody bought it for Christmas. I just put it in the barbecue. I said, "No, we don't have this in this house."
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas now.
Are you good with potatoes though? Or
I'm fine. Like I love potatoes. Potatoes are great. I love starch. I love carbs. You know, secretly I'm a big foodie. I'm fine with potatoes.
Oh,
except I keep calling it a hard boiled potato. I think I'm going to keep calling it that.
Hard boiled potato.
It's a hard boiled potato.
Peel off the little skin of it. I have been messaged by Pete on Discord. He says, and this is in all caps, "Move on from the potato, Adam, more Ultra Chats." Because he says, "I need to edit the podcast version of this somehow."
Okay, so first of all, we have some interesting Ultra Chats about this. And this one is from Norm's, two from Norm Summers, who says, "Was it a COVID potato?" And he sent it twice. "Was it a COVID potato?"
It was pre-pandemic.
And then Breaking Sydney says, "This is the effect of marijuana, children."
Oh, yeah. 100%, man. I mean, it has to be. It has to be all the bad decisions I've made over the 37 years of my life.
It's more effective than Reefer Madness, this story. I'm a huge fan. Let's finish off our Wyndham Rotunda Ultra Chats, Denise, and then we'll move on to the final Ultra Chats to close out this show. Right. I don't know how we're going to bring... Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to journalism, I guess.
All right, we're going back. Here we go. All right, Wyndham Rotunda. Okay, back to that. All right, James Handley sends in his Ultra Chat and says, "What if he continued with a split personality gimmick? The side of the Dark Order sees it as a kind, loving person, but anyone outside of the Dark Order that tries to mess with the group will end up getting violently assaulted in the shadows. He's his own enforcer, essentially." And I'm going to read one more before we touch up any last final thoughts. Rafael Jimenez says, what if Paige comes back to fix the Dark Order only for Bray to stop him from doing what he should, and only for it to be Bray who fixes Paige by telling him that his brother had higher deals in him? So go prove him right, validating their faith in him. Any thoughts you guys want to add to that?
I think it's a real tricky one. Like split personality is really effective. I mean, like kind of that's been part of Bray's DNA, because like one of the gimmicks that kind of everyone thought that like, oh, this is a sort of a modern day version of this was Waylon Mercy, who was a gimmick where very similar to Bray Wyatt, he came out looking like Robert De Niro's character from Cape Fear. He had the hat, he had the white trousers and the Hawaiian shirt, but he was a total gentleman. And he spoke a little bit like Jake the Snake, very carefully. Perfect gentleman in the ring. But as soon as the bell rang, he would become a savage. And just like, it was really unsettling because you never knew exactly which version of him you were going to get. And obviously Bray Wyatt, cult leader, is a step up kind of from Waylon Mercy. So, and obviously the Mr. Rogers versus the Fiend, like it's been a huge part of like that archetypical character, like from the very beginning. So I think I'm very into it. I think that's a sort of the AEW version of magic, go the psychological route, which is kind of what I think they do with Abaddon. Like, I don't think Abaddon is actually magic. Abaddon assumes that persona. So like having it be a psychological break, that he just like, what, you know, once he snaps, he will kill you. I think that is a nice extension. That's keeping continuity of Bray Wyatt, everything he's been doing with his career, whilst also giving him a different, slightly more grounded edge. So I'm definitely for that. And, I kind of don't want him to be altruistic. I kind of think Paige needs to find his own... Paige needs to find himself. Don't think Bray should find it for him. Paige... Dark Order have done everything they need to do to help Paige to the point where he can now identify the strength within him. That's my thoughts on both those questions.
Sorry, Adam. I need black liquid coming out of people's mouths and faces and creepy dolls, and that's what I need to be interested. We're moving on because we do got a couple more Ultra Chats. This one is from Norm Summers again, who says, I've always thought that Andrew looks like Drew McIntyre's stunt double.
Ooh.
I get that sometimes. Yeah. Listen, Drew's a very handsome man. How do you not? Unfortunately for me, I'm not 6'6" or 6'7" and jacked to the gills. That's my problem.
I mean, it's the brow. You've got, yeah, real kind of Drew McIntyre brow.
It's the eyebrows. The beard, the eyebrows. Yeah. I could do this, though. I could shake my chest a little bit. I could still do that, you know?
Nice.
There you go. There you go. That's as far as I could go. I mean, I can't flex or anything anymore. I could just shake the chest a little bit.
I mean, I can do this. That's the same, right? We're the same.
I can't do anything. All right. Steven Guzman says, hope you're all well today. Finished the Chris Canyon episode of Dark Side of the Ring, and it was especially heartbreaking. Reach out to your loved ones who seem to be struggling, and even if they seem okay, always check up on them. Stay safe, everybody. Any thoughts? Did you guys watch the episode yet?
To be completely truthful, I haven't seen it yet. No. So I agree with that sentiment, obviously.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I actually posted a story I never really told ever on the air. I was going to go into it tomorrow when I do Mat Men, but I'll talk about it today. I got to know Chris right before he passed away, a couple months before, and he had found one of the early podcasts I was doing, like 2010 or 2009, and he became like a viewer. And we would chat every now and then, and he randomly messaged me one day and asked to call me, and he called me, and he wanted to come on my show to talk about this damning evidence that he had against WWE, Vince, and everybody in charge. And he didn't want to say what it was, but he wanted to present this on the show, and that the week of he would prep me about it, right? I posted, I really didn't know what to do with that information, but he went on for like 20 minutes of just ranting and talk. I just let him talk. Looking back now and being a little bit more educated about mental health than, you know, when I was at 26, 27 years old, I would have recognized that he was having some sort of episode. Something was happening with him. He was not in a good state. He was really frantic. He used to do a live stream every now and then on a website called Stickham. I don't know if people remember this. It was like what we're doing now. Like you would be able to stream your show, but you could also have people on the side to chat with. And then there was a chat room as well. So you could see them and they could see you and then you could chat with them. And he would do those. And it was a little scary something. Like I saw two of them and he was like in the dark. So you could tell that something was going on and he lived very close to me and I was sending a car to pick him up to come on the show. And I found, you know, a couple of weeks later, you find out that, you know, he took his own life and absolutely terrible. And I think this one thing, you know, forget about outside of blaming WWE, blaming anybody else. I think realizing that the mental health issues are a very serious thing and we need to be a little bit more conscious about it.
Well said.
That was my interaction with Chris. And this is way before I did anything with wrestling, way before any of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I watched the episode. It was really good. I do think that they could have, there's some episodes where I really do think that they should be like more than 1 hour because I do think that they can dive into things a little bit more. I think this was one of the ones where I kind of felt like there was still kind of a lot of questions left. So I would say that this would have been one that they could have definitely done 2 hours and so many other ones as well, because I felt this way about several of them. But a lot of the stories from this episode from Chris Kanyon, for me, all completely new. Like I didn't know like a lot of what was on here. So that was like, for me, not knowing these stories going in, it was pretty surprising, but overall like a pretty interesting episode of Dark Side of the Ring.
So one thing, let me just say this because I know I'm going to get a lot of questions on what I think he had, what evidence he had. And I don't like saying this, but I don't think there was anything. I think it was him in a very bad state of mind. I don't think he had any, you know, I don't want to say everything he said to me because some of it was very accusatory. And I wouldn't want to put it out there because I generally don't feel that it was he wanted to say those things publicly. I think he was in a really bad state. I don't believe he had this, you know, groundbreaking thing. I think he was just very he was in a really bad place.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I think that definitely came across from when you told it, for sure.
Alrighty, here we go. And we got a couple more. This one is from Chaos Control, who says, Andrew, as a fellow New Yorker, I have to question why you ate food from a random old man. You can't trust people on MTA.
Listen, we're back. He had a sweet face. He grabbed my face. He gave me a kiss. He was a nice guy. He was trying to do something. I am now an immortal. I'm convinced of this. It's like the movie Highlander. You got to chop my head off and then take my energy. And then now you live, become an immortal. So I'm putting this out there in the universe now.
It kind of feels like Dune. It kind of feels like you've taken the kind of the spice water that you shouldn't take, the concentrated stuff that sends your mind crazy. And now you are the Muhadib. You are the person who is in all places at once. You are the Kwisatz Haderach, able to kind of see all points in time. You've been through the thing that should have killed you, but now you are more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
All right, next one. We got this one is from Bacon Rasher, who says, afternoon, slightly off topic, but I see Denise is wearing a Bullet Club shirt on. So I was wondering, with El Fantasmo now showing up in Impact, do you think there are plans for Bullet Club in AEW, or is this just an Impact storyline? Thoughts, everybody?
I'm not fully completely up to date on Impact. Obviously, like, you know, they've whispered around the club and stuff, obviously with Gallows and Anderson and stuff, but like, man, I'm kind of over Bullet Club, like, if I'm honest. You know, I do a new thing. Don't get me wrong, very, very iconic, obviously. Look, the shirts are everywhere.
This is the Vigilante Club one.
Oh, very nice. But like, I don't, me personally, I'm over Bullet Club. You couldn't tell me that there's a new member of Bullet Club and I would care. And that's not to throw shade at anyone currently in Bullet Club. I just, man, like the NWO, it just loses its steam after too many years. You know?
I 100% agree with you.
All right, and we're going on to the next one. Hey, guys. This one is from Marslarts, who says, hey, guys, I'm on my way to my first wrestling event since March 2020, and I'm going to meet the mayor of Painesville there. Hashtag WrestleTalk brings fans together.
Hey, you're going to meet Dan. Oh, give him our best. Rub his little belly and say he's been a good boy. I love Dan's a bit.
Another Ultra Chat. This one is from Breaking Sydney, who says that this is the best show ever, even with all of our technical difficulties, clearly.
All of my technical difficulties. Let's just call it like we see it, shall we? You don't need to protect me. My technical difficulties, Andrew's potato, and your game boards. We've had a truly once in a lifetime.
And this is from an angry gamer. This is from Wolf Knight, who says, first of all, BTW, this is a little bit insulting, but he says, firstly, Denise is the type of person to go play Goldfish and call it the most challenging game board to date. Go play some Catan, Denise, please. I don't know what Catan is, and you know what? I like to play Goldfish, brother. And then he says, secondly, if Bray comes to AEW, is there the possibility that's one of a one-off appearance like Redbeard?
Denise, you'll like this. One of the reasons why I'm so scattered all over the place is because I literally I ran to the office to record this on time because I was filming a review of a game board called Nemesis, which comes in a box that's about this big, like genuinely you could bury a dog in it, and it costs over $100, and the rule book is like 30 pages long. Would you like to play it with me, Denise?
No, I don't like instructions.
Denise, come on. Go play the game. Go read the book.
I don't like instructions.
Go read the manual.
No, I don't do manuals. I'm those people. I hate reading manuals. I hate reading instructions. I rather just try to figure it out. That's it for our Ultra Chats. Adam.
Shall I sign us out, shall I? This has been easily
the worst show ever.
Hashtag best show ever. Let's lean into it. Let's see what happens next week, Denise. Who knows?
I might call out sick next week.
Oh, no. No.
Don't eat the potato.
Don't do it. This has been a huge amount of fun. First of all, I do want to thank our very special guest, Andrew Zarian, for if there's anything this show's going to be remembered for, it's potatoes on trains. So
listen, I'm a big fan of everything you guys do over there at WrestleTalk. You guys are always great. You give me shout outs on your videos and everything. It's amazing how much growth you guys have seen, the content you guys make, as you know, someone that makes content. Obviously, I appreciate really good content, and you guys are fantastic. I mean, and this is a pleasure for me. Anytime you guys want me on, I'll come on.
Andrew, please let the people know where they can find all the stuff that you make.
Hey, Twitter, at Andrew Zarian on Twitter. I do a podcast every week with my co-host Rich Stamboli. We've been doing it for 10 years now, called Matt Men. It's Matt Men Podcast on Twitter. Matt Men Podcast on YouTube. Listen, we want to hit 10,000 subscribers. We had a little issue a couple of years ago. We lost the account. We had to separate all our shows because we had like a bunch of shows under one account. So we separate everything and we've never really pushed YouTube. I'd love to hit 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. We're at like 6,000 now. We're getting there. If you want to subscribe, you can subscribe on YouTube. We do a live show every week. We do watch alongs on Sundays for pay-per-views. I do a show with Denise also called We're Live Pal on The Observer.
If you have enjoyed the potato story, please go and give Andrew Zarian a subscribe. Absolutely richly deserving. Oh my god, I feel like about a pound lighter. I've laughed so much.
Yeah.
and also been equally horrified as well. Like it's easily one of the most upsetting stories I've heard in a while.
Very common feeling to have once I tell that story.
Can we just fill your Twitter timeline, Andrew, with a bunch of pictures of Mr. Potato Head?
You know what? I welcome all the potato memes that are sent to me. If you want to turn me into a potato, I would accept that. You want to turn me into like a Highlander potato? I'll accept that too. On the train, take that. All the memes, all the Photoshops, I'll take.
Andrew, I warn you against opening the spud gate. I really do. You're about to be inundated. Yeah,
hashtag spud gate.
So thank you everyone for watching this easily the most chaotic show. This is why you don't have children. That's the moral here. Don't have kids, because otherwise your successor will screw over your original baby. Luke loves podcasts so much, and I've put two bullets in this one's head. Sorry about that, Luke. We'll see you next week, everybody. But thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much to everyone who ultra chatted. And yes, please do make sure you obviously follow @_DeniseSalcedo. On Twitter. Let's not bury that lead. Make sure you throw a subscribe over at Instant Culture with Denise Salcedo on YouTube as well. We love you lots. Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.